In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, July 14th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Islamic State has driven hundreds of thousands of Christians out of Iraq and Syria, and now 1,000 Christians have formed a militia to fight for their homeland. According to NBC News, they plan to fight side by side with Iraqi Muslims to oppose ISIS. The story quotes Rayan Al-Qaldani of the Babylonian Brigade, who said ISIS displaced us from our homes, they took our money, killed our young men and women, and they took our properties. In biblical history, Nehemiah advocated defensive war against aggressors. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. Nehemiah 4:14. Iraq is attempting to recapture Fallujah and Ramadi now in a major offensive. So far, no air support from the United States, according to Fox News. Greece is temporarily out of the woods and still in the Eurozone. They promised more austerity measures and trade for more loans despite their inability to pay on loans from the last 5 years. The Greek Parliament must still approve the agreement, and that's expected today. In the wake of the Obergefell decision, the Liberty Council has submitted a brief to the Alabama Supreme Court arguing a precedent for states to ignore an unlawful United States Supreme Court mandate. Matt Staver, chairman of the Liberty Council, appealed to the Wisconsin High Court's treatment of the Dred Scott decision of 1857. A major Mexican drug lord has escaped prison for the second time in his criminal career. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman has been called the most dangerous cartel leader in the world. He has been labeled public enemy number one in the city of Chicago. The Rutherford Institute is filing a First Amendment lawsuit on behalf of a man who was prevented from displaying a John 3:16 sign in a public plaza. It was last summer when Gino Emmerich was surrounded by police and threatened with arrest as he tried to display his John 3:16 sign at a San Francisco Giants game in the proximity of the ESPN booth. CNN reports that the White House is now pressuring the Defense Department to open the military to transgender personnel. The announcement is expected today. 1 John 2:17 says, "And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever." Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker threw his hat into an already crowded presidential race yesterday. The most recent Economist poll puts Donald Trump in the lead, followed by Rand Paul, Jeb Bush, and Scott Walker himself. The African nation of Burundi is heading towards major destabilization as their July 21st election approaches. The nation's ethnic division of Hutus and Tutsis could add fuel to the fire. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Two more Christian colleges have now decided to endorse the abomination described in Leviticus 20:13 and 1 Corinthians 6:9. Both Hope College in Holland, Michigan, and Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, approved benefits for homosexual couples after the United States Supreme Court instituted homosexual marriage. Pastor Jeff Swanson from Christ the King Reformed Evangelical Church in Ferry, Michigan, talked to The Worldview on these disturbing trends in Christian colleges.
Understanding that the Reformed, when we're talking about that, we're really referring to like the Dutch Reformed. And so the, you know, Hope College is associated with the RCA, and they've been setting not a good trajectory for quite some time, starting back in like the late 80s, I believe it was, or maybe the early 90s with ordaining women, and having been doing that for a long time.
These two colleges join Baylor University that announced its acceptance of homosexual behavior last week. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 6. Is the United States government incarcerating Christian immigrants now? The Christian Post reports that 20 Iraqi Christians have been detained for 4 months at an Immigration and Customs Enforcement facility near San Diego. Well, it's been 9 years and 3 billion miles. And this morning, the spacecraft New Horizon will finally reach its destination, Pluto. It's the last frontier in the solar system for man to explore. Evolutionary scientists hope it will shed light on the formation of the planets, including our own. Indeed, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament displays his handiwork. Today, we will discover 1,000 more reasons to glorify our powerful Creator. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, July 14th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado in very interesting times where faith, family, freedom, well, they're all simultaneously under attack. No surprise there. They play off on each other. The breakdown of the faith, breakdown of the family, breakdown of freedom, these things certainly one for the other. As Benjamin Franklin would say, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed, which means either you'll be self-governing, either you'll have solid morality, solid sexual morality, solid families, or you will see a breakdown of that morality and then you will be tyrannized. And that's why, of course, the liberals are very excited about two things in the Supreme Court decision most recently, and that is the breakdown of morality, the breakdown of the family, and the rise of tyranny, hopefully from their perspective, the persecution of lots and lots of Christians. So that's the agenda of the left. That's the agenda of the Supreme Court of the United States right now. This is the agenda of the Democratic Party and most liberals around America. They won't tell you that, but their goal is to, number one, break down morality so that, number two, they can tyrannize the people. As Benjamin Franklin would say, either you'll be governed by God or by God you'll be governed. By the sovereignty of God, you will be tyrannized big time. And that's what's happening with this nation right now. Well, Bill Jack is on the phone line with me now from Regent University, still working with the Worldview Academy. And how's it going out there, Bill, with the Worldview Academy for the year?
Yeah, it's great. We've got some great students, great questions. They're digging into God's Word, learning how to give a defense of their faith in gentleness and reverence. And every Wednesday, we take them out on college campus or downtown area. This week, we're going to do the boardwalk in Virginia Beach and have them share their faith. And they come back with amazing stories. We were in Wake Forest in Winston-Salem last week, and we had probably about 8 or 9 people at the Greyhound bus or at the city bus station trust Christ in about 45 minutes to an hour and a half. Then we also had 2 of our students indicate faith in Christ. So most of our students come to camp, and they're Christians, but some come to camp, and they think they own their faith, and they're living off mom and dad's faith. Yeah. And they come to grips with the reality of their need for Christ, and it's a glorious thing to watch.
Praise God. Praise God.
Yep.
And you're on a college campus right now. The battle for religious liberty is going to be waging strongly on the college campus, but let's talk a little bit about what's happening with Jack Phillips. Jack Phillips, the baker here in Denver, and that case was heard at the Colorado Supreme Court. Give us an update.
Yeah, it was a court of appeals. It was a court of appeals hearing on last Tuesday, the 7th, I believe it was. And it appears that the justices or the judges on that court of appeals were asking some very tough questions of the ACLU attorney, because they were asking questions that indicated that they were concerned as to whether or not this is going to be a case that is going to be limiting free speech. For example, one of the judges asked if an artist, he asked the ACLU attorney who's representing the homosexual couple, asked the ACLU attorney if an artist is commissioned or puts out that he will paint portraits or he will paint any artwork. And somebody approaches him and says, I want you to paint a portrait celebrating same-sex marriage. And the artist says, no, that's against my religion. Would he be prosecuted under this statute that the Colorado Commission has cited against Jack Phillips? And the ACLU attorney said yes.
Mm.
Well, that's a significant question because the court, the Supreme Court, and other courts under them have always ruled that artistic expression is an expression of free speech. And so to curtail free speech, to curtail artistic expression, would then be a limitation of the First Amendment. So I think they're really thinking through this, and they're having to come to grips with the reality of this being a tort issue rather than what I call a kangaroo court issue in the commission, because the commission itself is not a court. It is a kangaroo court, and people need to understand that. And so I think this is a significant question by the judges in this case. So I think it might bode well.
The same question could be posed about an author of a novel, say, or, you know, I'm an author, I've written a lot of books, but could somebody put a gun to my head and say, you will write a book on homosexuality, or I will sue you for $135,000. So again, you know, writing books, I think, typically has been perceived as a freedom of speech issue. Artistic expression, as you said, is a freedom of speech issue. At this point, you know, the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution is probably at stake, and hopefully some of these cases will be resolved in the favor of freedom of speech. We'll see what happens with that. But whatever the case, I want to encourage folks to the Freedom Conference or Religious Liberties Conference at Des Moines on November 6th and 7th of this year. This is really, I think, the key election. Either we're going to see some protection of religion, some protection of freedom of speech in America, some protection of pastors, writers, artists, bakers, employees, businesses, or we're going to see an increased fascist regulation of all these different aspects of human life. And so the Religious Liberties Conference is scheduled for November 6th and 7th. For more information, it's freedom2015.org. Let's take a look quickly, Bill, at what's happening with the colleges right now. You may have heard that the Canadian court has enforced a Christian law school to support homosexuality or they will be disaccredited. Apparently, an accreditation organization had threatened to pull their accreditation because they were not willing to show favor to homosexuality. This is Trinity Western University that offers law degrees, and they took it to the Canadian court. The Supreme Court of Canada has ruled that a Christian law school can be denied accreditation to having a policy in opposition to homosexuality. Excuse me, that was the divisional court of the Ontario Superior Court that made that ruling just a week or two ago. So, you know, we've been talking a little bit about whether or not the Supreme Court ruling, the Obergefell ruling, would affect the tax-exempt status of educational establishments, drawing from the Bob Jones University case in which they were threatened to lose their tax-exempt status because they were not offering equal opportunity across race, apparently, at some point. But now, since sexual orientation is included in Title VII and other aspects of United States law, at this point, I think a lot of institutions, a lot of universities, Christian colleges, are thinking they may be losing tax-exempt status, but that may not be the only issue. It may be that they will lose accreditation as well. And that's what this Canadian court decided, the Ontario Superior Court decided, and it may affect American institutions as well. Canada being, you know, a couple of years ahead of us, but at this point with the Obergefell ruling, I'm not sure it's as far ahead of us as it used to be.
You know, we have one of our staffers, our college staffers, is from Canada, and this is a topic that we discuss at camp, of the issue of homosexuality and how as a Christian to respond. And I always have her stand and say what's happening in Canada. And she talks about how a woman was asked to participate in a gay pride parade. And she said, because of my Christianity, I can't do that. And she was fired from her job.
Mm-hmm.
And those are cases that are happening all over Canada. you can be prosecuted for speaking out against homosexuality publicly as a form of hate speech. So you're right. We are maybe 1 or 2 years behind Canada. But if you want to see what this what bodes for us as U.S. citizens, then just look to Canada, because that's what's happening there and what will happen here. We will be prosecuted, not because we believe in Jesus. We're going to be prosecuted because we are enemies of the state, because we do not abide by the state's laws. And so that's what happened in Rome, in first century Rome. I mean, there were mystery religions all over the place, but Christians were prosecuted because they wouldn't take a pinch of incense and burn it once a year before Caesar's statue and say Caesar is Lord. So they were prosecuted not because they believed in Jesus, but because they were enemies of the state. And that's how it's going to be portrayed here. I mean, ultimately, is because we believe in Jesus and Him alone. He alone is Lord. But they will find ways to prosecute us and say that we are enemies of the state. That's how it works.
Yeah.
So Christians need to be prepared for a response to those things, and we need to be wise as serpents, innocent as doves, in preparation. And I think we're playing catch up on this issue.
You know, Bill, I think Christians need to understand that we do have a role to protect the liberties of Christians. The Apostle Paul engaged that in Acts 16. You also think of Esther and Joseph and Daniel. The number one priority for people like Joseph and Esther was to protect the people of God. And there's a fair amount of pushback among Christians on these issues as to whether or not Christians ought to be pressing in the courts and pressing in the elections to maintain some kind of religious liberties for Christians in the marketplace and for pastors and churches. And my answer is I think we ought to press as much as we possibly can. As much as we can appeal to lawful measures to bring it about, we need to push hard on this. And yes. I'd encourage people to our Religious Liberties Conference. I've heard, you know, from pastors, we've been writing to lots and lots of churches, but we get a lot of pushback from churches that just don't think Christians ought to be engaging in politics, and that Christians should not have opinions when it comes to politics. And it certainly was not the way it was with the Apostle Paul in Acts 16, was not the way it was with Esther and Joseph. The number one priority of Christians engaged in politics is to protect the people of God. It even trumps the pro-life issue, although I consider the pro-life issue to be a close number two. Certainly protecting the lives of others is important as well. But this will be the critical election for us. 2016 will be a critical election for us if we don't push hard. And if we don't get a decent replacement for Ginsburg, one of the retiring justices in the next 4 years, friends, we're going to be in a heap of trouble. And I understand that God is sovereign over these things, but we're also responsible to maintain liberties as best as we can. We've seen great Christians, courageous Christians, do this in the past. I'm encouraging Christians to do this now.
Yes, and this is one of the things we hammer on at Worldview Academy, and that is the biblical basis for true authority. What is a Christian to do when evil seems to be winning? How are we to respond in the face of government furthering evil and punishing good? When its role as a minister of God is to further good and punish evil, what happens when it does the reverse? And the answer is, we see Peter and John in Acts 4, we see Paul in Acts 25, and we understand that we stand for liberty for all. Because we bless the culture when we have liberty. When we have liberty under law, then we as Christians are a blessing to the culture, because it provides security, it provides civility, it provides prosperity for a culture. The gospel is promulgated, and then the culture is salted and lighted. For those who say that, oh, we should not dirty our hands in politics, I'm going to accuse them, and I will accuse them face to face, of neither being good Christians nor good citizens of the U.S., because as good citizens, we're to uphold the Constitution. And the Constitution, that's the First Amendment liberties. And to be a good Christian means we are to promote the gospel, and we are to proclaim the gospel. And if we say that there is a higher authority that can tell us, no, you must be silent here, no, the gospel cannot be proclaimed here, then we are not standing for liberty or for the promulgation of the gospel. And so that's why I'm going to be very adamant about people attending and signing up to attend the Liberty Conference, and they need to do so right now. This is a vital issue, and they need to make plans for November immediately and sign up, and then bring their pastors and pay for their pastors to come, pay for their pastoral staff to attend, so that they can become educated on this. We've got some great speakers lined up on this issue, and they will walk away encouraged and equipped, as well as edified. And they can go back and they can train their congregants on how to stand as Christians in a culture that is descending into the depths of evil.
The website is freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org. And Bill, it seems to me the homosexuality and the neurotic agenda is becoming the wedge issue for lots and lots of Christians. I'm going to give you an example of that. We talked about the Christian College in Canada that has been disaccredited or is about to be disaccredited for their stance, their biblical stance on homosexuality, and that according to the Superior Court in that particular province. But now we have two Christian colleges here in America post-Obergefell that are now extending employment benefits to same-sex spouses. The one college is Hope College, a small reformed liberal arts college in Holland, Michigan. And, you know, I've had increasing concerns about the direction that reformed churches and reformed and evangelical churches, reformed colleges and evangelical colleges are going. Typically, it's the colleges that set the direction for the denominations. And that's why we look at the colleges first, because they're the ones training the future liberal arts students and the pastors that will come out of these liberal arts colleges to head up these reformed denominations and these evangelical denominations. So you've got the Hope College, a small reformed liberal arts college in Holland, Michigan, and the other college is down in Tennessee, Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee. That was the university, if I'm not mistaken, that dismissed the lesbian coach a year or two ago. But now, post-Obergefell, they are going to make a different direction on homosexuality. Here's a quote. "We recognized early on that the Supreme Court was likely to issue a decision that would present new challenges to our college," according to an email from one of the leaders of this college. "After much prayer and consultation with our board of trustees, legal experts, and others in Christian higher education, we determined that this continued policy serves the best interests of our college and campus community." And that is a letter from John Knapp, a college president for Hope College, the small reformed liberal arts college in Holland, Michigan. So here again, not only are many Christians abandoning their responsibility to face these political leaders with a full court press and a claiming of Christian liberties in these areas, but they're cowering and they're kowtowing to the homosexual agenda. You know, this is an indication of the lapse of faith. This is an indication of the apostasy that's happening amongst these reformed colleges and evangelical colleges like Belmont out in Nashville, Tennessee, Bill.
And exactly. And there was just a recent article in World Magazine about a church that was planted in San Francisco that had been a PCA church. They switched to the RCA, Reformed Church of America. And then within a couple of years, they relaxed, if you will, their stand on homosexuality as far as membership goes in that church. So they went from being very strong, being a ministry to the light to San Francisco, and then they fell to the pressures of the day, and now they are touting the agenda that makes them very popular in San Francisco. And so we're seeing this, and you're right. What happens is that they capture the seminaries, which train the pastors, and then you see congregations fall, not because the people in the pews agree, it's because the those in positions of pastors and administrators in the church then turn the church and change doctrine. And so we need to be aware of this in the sense of, hey, it's not the other churches. It can happen very quickly. When you go from having a church in San Francisco that was a PCA church to a Reformed Church of America and then to endorsing homosexuality, as okay, you've got some serious problems within Christendom.
Well, we've got massive apostasy happening across the Western world. I wrote on that in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Happened in England. It's happening in Canada now. Happening in America. We're looking at 60, 80, 90% of the millennials walking away from the established church. And some of the established church trying to make its proper prostrations to the gods of the marketplace, peering through reverent fingers, watching them flourish and fall. The gods of the copybook headings, I notice, outlast them all. And, you know, this is another example of that, Bill, where it's hard to believe. Imagine when that college was founded and you went back to the original founding board and you told them, I'm talking about Hope College, the RCA college in Holland, Michigan, and you told that founding board in 60 years, in 100 years from now, this college will admit that pigs have wings and other beautiful things, and they're going to also, besides endorsing the theology that pigs have wings and wishes were horses, the moon was Stilton, and the gods of the marketplace are also saying above and beyond all of that, that a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman, they would have a hard time believing that.
Well, you know, just last week we were at Wake Forest, and that used to be a Baptist university, and then it was moved from Wake Forest, North Carolina, to Winston-Salem, kept the name Wake Forest, and still has Jesus Christ in the bylaws. We hold our camp there. We're just renting bed space and room space. And a few years ago, we have our students go out on campus and share their faith. And they talked to a religion prof, and he got very upset that we were proclaiming the gospel. And so we got kicked off campus for our evangelism practicum. And that's why we go down to the city bus station. And which is really strange because, again, they still have Jesus Christ in their bylaws. So it doesn't take long for colleges and universities and seminaries to go south on this thing. In fact, our meeting room is right across the hall from the LGBTQ Center for students at Wake Forest. Hmm. And I use that as an illustration of what happens on college campuses and how Christian campuses can quickly become secularized.
Also, we should point out the Baylor University, that big Baptist university in Texas, probably the biggest Baptist university in the country, has also endorsed homosexuality as of last week. And by the way, they were still forbidding dancing as of the mid-1990s. So, you know, they've come a long way, baby, since then. Now endorsing homosexuality and homosexual marriage. So another Christian college bites the dust.
You know, in this article in World Magazine on this church in San Francisco, one of the pastors said, or the lead pastor, head pastor said, you know, we don't want to seek unity around truth. That's divisive. It basically said that when we seek unity, out of unity comes truth. That is really a bizarre turn of events.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about what Christianity is, Christianity seeks unity based on truth first. And what he's done is turn this on its head and say, no, it's not truth we seek, it's unity that we seek, and out of unity comes truth. And when that happens, the scripture goes by the wayside, and man's wisdom, if you want to call it that, pops up and says, oh, we can accept this, we can accept this. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as we have unity. And that is where Christians are going to be called out. The true church is going to be called out and be called an enemy of the state.
Yeah. They're
going to be called those who seek disunity. And you're not being very loving. And so there's going to be all kinds of names called, and we need to get used to that. And we need to stand for truth and grace and proclaim it clearly in the culture, because we have an opportunity now to really show what Christianity, true Christianity, is. And I think that's why people need to come to this Religious Freedom Conference, because they need to understand how to combat these things, how to speak about these things, how to extend a hand of hope to those who are trapped in sin, and a hand of restraint in legislation against promoting evil in our culture. They need to come to this.
There's no question in my mind, Bill, we're going to see some persecution at some level. there's only 570 Christian colleges in America as it is. Only 570 Christian colleges. That's about 300,000 students, making up 1.5% of the college population in America, of which about 50% of them are fairly conservative, which means only about 0.7% of college students in America attend a Christian college. And my guess is the 0.7% of colleges in America are going to be persecuted. They will be disaccredited, as what we saw with the Canadian university that stood strong on the issue of homosexuality. The rest of them are going to just kowtow to the system. Meantime, those attending secular universities, so when Christian kids attend secular university, I just got this from the ACLJ this morning in my inbox, multiple instances of kids being denied applications to colleges simply because they acknowledge their faith in God. Here's a Maryland college that asked the simple question, what's the greatest value in your life? The candidate simply replied, my God. And at that point, he was disqualified to the college. It was some kind of medical college in Maryland. And ACLJ has taken up that case. But I think more and more you're going to see not only Christian colleges, but Christian students in public colleges receiving the pushback from the system, especially if the system is 99.3% pro-homosexual. And that apparently is what we're seeing right now in colleges and universities across this country. The other 0.7% will be persecuted, and I think individuals will be persecuted. I think my point is get used to it, get ready for it, be prepared for some persecution, and handle it graciously as Paul did in that Philippian jail. Learn to sing your songs, witness to the jailer, witness to the guy asking the questions as you're trying to apply for admission to the college, and then press your rights with the city council, with the Supreme Court of the United States, with the 2016 elections as well.
And it's not you're pressing your rights for yourself; it's for those who come after you.
Yeah,
it is for those who will follow in your footsteps, so that they too have liberty of free speech and free press and freedom of assembly. Because if we do not exercise our liberties, and when suppressed, appeal. Peter and John appeal to God, Paul appeal to Caesar. If we do not appeal, then those coming after us will have no liberty.
Yeah.
It is not for us that we do these things. It is for our children, our grandchildren. And we need to stand and speak.
And one more thing. I want to throw one more thing out there, Bill, and that is, okay, we're going to be marginalized, but I think also we need to maximize our islands of freedom. Mentorship is critical to me. If our kids attend secular colleges, I really recommend discipleship and mentorship along the way. One reason why I'd recommend the Worldview Academy course, it's a form of mentorship for a week here or a week there from one year to the next. But, you know, mentorship is critical. I think three things essential for preparation. Books, you can get those online if you want. Brick and mortar, more and more difficult for Christians to attend a brick and mortar college. We understand that. Three things for a good preparation for life. Books, life integration, and spiritual discipleship and accountability. Those three things. Books, life integration, and spiritual discipleship and accountability. The brick and mortar college is more and more relevant anyway to anybody actually getting a job. So keep that in mind. Don't panic about the rising persecution when it comes to college, Christian colleges, Christian universities, and Christian students. But understand, friends, the real key to preparing our young men and our young women for their family economies and for the macro economy is mentorship. And that's why our Kickstart Launch Your Life system that we put together about a year or two ago, we really think this is the best way to merge into an economy. Friends, a four-year degree with $140,000 in debt, attending a university where you're getting sex 101, homosexual 102, and incest 103, and bestiality 104 is probably not the best preparation for your economic future. I would recommend mentorship as a very, very important, crucial part of preparation for life, something that is largely missing in our present system because they've abandoned a biblical world and life view when it comes to the issue of education.
And that's one reason that we at Worldview Academy have started our gap year program for students just getting out of high school.
Yeah.
And it's a two-semester program down in Canyon City, Colorado. And it's for those who are interested in digging deeper into their faith and getting prepared for either career or college so that they can defend their faith. And people
critical.
Can check us out at worldview.org and
critical.
See the links for our camps and the gap year program as well. So, yeah, you're right, Kevin. It's a crucial time for us to prepare those who are coming after us. to take our places.
And friends, let me tell you this, that spiritual discipleship and accountability from Worldview Academy, or even from college ministries or from your church, really, really critical. Three elements. One is spiritual discipleship accountability. Two, life integration. Three, you need to get the books. But the mentorship, the discipleship, critical. And I'd recommend an introduction to the whole subject of mentorship and spiritual accountability. And that's our Kickstart Launch Your Life program, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. And don't forget the Freedom Conference, freedom2015.org, to sign up today. Early registration ends July 31st. Keep that in mind. Bill Jack on the phone line today with us on this critical edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson signing off, and inviting you to join us again next time as we continue to lay down the vision for the next generation.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated, get some influence, and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates. Take part in a presidential poll. Support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.